This is KBBI Homer, AM 890. The time is 9:01 a.m. Stay tuned for the regular Thursday COVID-19 brief. The time is 9:01. This is Kathleen Gustafson, KBBI Homer, AM 890. It's time for the regular Thursday COVID-19 brief. And if you have questions for the panel, you can call 235-7721 or you can email info@kbbi.org. And let's check in with the panel right now. Dorotha Ferraro, spokesperson for South Peninsula Hospital. Good morning.
Good morning, Kathleen.
And Nurse Lauren Carroll from the Homer Public Health Center and the Alaska Department of Health and Social Services. Good morning to you.
Thanks for the invite. You're loud and clear.
Okay. And Peggy Erkineff should be joining us later in the program. The first thing I'd like to talk to you two about, I do have a few questions stacked up from info@kbbi.org, but I'd like to start with an overview of case rates for positive cases on the peninsula. I see the school district's webpage is showing a 14-day case rate for the Central Peninsula at 123, showing an average daily incidence of 8 cases a day. The Southern Peninsula data is showing 20 cases and an average daily incidence of 1.43 cases a day. Nurse Lauren Carroll, can you put those numbers in perspective and talk? There is a lag, too. This is sort of the information is a few days behind.
Yeah, those numbers make sense to me. You know, in the state of Alaska, in the past week, we've had just about 1,100 additional cases. So statewide, that was a 3.5% decrease from the previous rate. So that's statewide. So statewide, we're still in high alert. So that's at about 22 is the rate. So most regions in the state right now are in high and maintain that particular level of alertness. There's a couple exceptions, though, that are notable. Juneau and Southeast Intermediate, those folks are actually in the intermediate risk level. And that is likely, and we anticipated, that correlates directly to their high vaccination successes down there. So the take-home there is that communities that have high levels of vaccination are simply going to have less burden with COVID, and it's not going to last as long. But here on Kenai Peninsula Borough, yep, you got it. We're at about 19, and that's high. That's tripled in about the past 4 weeks. Another way of looking at this is the overall incidence would take about 160 days for it to have. So if we're looking into the future and things maintain the same, we've got a long haul ahead of us.
Thanks, Nurse Lauren. Dorotha Ferraro from South Peninsula Hospital, would you like to add something to that in terms of just the South Peninsula Hospital COVID-19 testing?
Sure. Thanks, Kathleen. So at the SPH testing site, we have done 389 swabs in the we've resulted 389 swabs in the last week, and of those, 4 were positive. So that puts us, you know, just at about a 1% positivity rate, which is pretty low. And it's you see that it's only a fraction of the number of total positives that have been reported on the Southern Peninsula. So this certainly reminds us that there's more than one place to test, including South Peninsula Hospital's testing site, but also other locations on the Southern Peninsula and at the airport. So this is the time of year that, you know, many folks are coming into the Anchorage Airport daily. I spoke to a friend and she said that the airport was very busy when she flew in this past weekend. So the airport continues to be a place to test as well as get vaccinated. So as people come in, maybe from our zip code or who will be living in our zip code for the summer, they might test up at the airport, but then get the results and then they're resulted out for the peninsula or the Southern Peninsula.
Thanks. Well, that brings me to one of our questions to info@kbbi.org. Well, first, I want to clarify that when you say the airport, you mean the Anchorage Airport, not the Homer Airport. There's no
Thanks for that clarification. That's right. Anchorage Airport. Thank you.
No testing, no vaccines at the Homer Airport, all at Ted Stevens International Airport. But I have this question. On quarantining and masking after travel from the lower 48. The question says, though we are fully vaccinated, we have one friend coming up who is fully vaccinated and another who's waiting to get to Homer for her two vaccines. What is the recommendation regarding quarantining and masking for us and them in both of those cases? So someone arriving who is vaccinated and someone arriving who is not. Nurse Lorne, you got that?
Ooh, that's a good question. I want to give a general response and then link folks to a really great resource online if you have internet access. Kind of the rule of thumb there is that for those fully vaccinated folks, there's incredibly low risk. And so you can go without a mask if you're around only, say, one household that isn't vaccinated or one person that isn't vaccinated. But the best and safest recommendation for that person that hasn't been vaccinated yet, to go ahead and keep a mask on. That's to keep you safe, but also those around you, including the vaccinated folks. And that online resource is, if you were to search CDC Choosing Safer Activities, there's a one-pager that outlines multiple indoor and outdoor activities, and it gives recommendations on masks for people that are fully vaccinated and people that haven't had a shot yet.
Thanks, Nurse Lorne. Well, go ahead, DeRosa Ferraro.
Kathleen, I'd like to get that more specific to Alaska. So the COVID-19.alaska.gov/travelers page has all of the details specifically for entering Alaska from another state or country and the advisement to them. Right now, the state doesn't have mandate in particular, but it does have advisory of to submit the Alaska Safe Travels form and arrive either with proof of negative molecular-based COVID-19 test or follow your work plan or test when you arrive and then do strict social distancing. Now, everything that I said, unless you're arriving today, just don't even worry about it because things are changing quickly right now. As Lauren said, based on level of vaccinated folks and also very unique guidelines just for those who are fully vaccinated. And I just encourage the person who asked that question not to get too specific with today's recommendations because they, I believe, are expected to change in the coming weeks.
Thanks. DeRosa, what do you give people at the COVID vaccine and test site at 4201 Bartlett Street, where all South Peninsula Hospital's testing and vaccines happen? What do you give people to travel with after they've received their vaccine? Do they get a sheet of paper? Is it just an email that then you show at the airport?
You get a little card. It's about the size of a license or credit card, but not really. It's a little large, so it doesn't perfectly fit in your wallet. But it's a little card, and documented is your first dose if you're doing a two-dose series by the lot number of the actual vaccine that you received. And so the manufacturer name is there, the lot number that is on the vial that your vaccine was pulled from, the date and the initials of the person and the location that you received it at. And then that same card, when you come back for your second dose, if you're two-dose situation, when you come back, you bring that card with you, and there's another line then that is completed and filled in for that. And then that card is your proof. But we understand that folks misplace those or don't have them on them when they need them. And so any of the primary care clinics in Homer can go on to the VacTrack online statewide vaccine database and pull that record down and print that for you.
So I was asking about, thank you for that. I was asking about if you've had a test and your test results and how are those
Oh, I'm sorry.
If you travel.
Test results, if you've been tested at that site, we give you a handout about the importance of quarantining until you get your results, and even further, depending on your situation, but quarantining until you get your results. Some people are testing right now because of medical procedures or employer requirements or those types of things, so they have different guidelines. But if you're testing because of symptoms, you're being given this handout that explains that. And then to access your results, it is all electronic. We have a portal to go online, and you can check it, you know, all day long waiting for them to appear there. And then we also have, if you don't have access to internet to be able to go onto the portal, then we do have a phone line that folks can get information, 235-0881. That is our portal hotline.
So if a person needs to show that they've been tested to travel, then it's all online is what you're saying, or they can print from the system?
Yeah, you can print from that system. Okay. If your phone goes to a printer.
Okay.
But I'm pretty sure digital is accepted most places, that is required.
Well, not everybody has that capability.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So the next thing I want to talk about is vaccine numbers for the state and the peninsula. And Dorotha, I want to start with you because I heard you in the Unified Command's report to council on Monday that pretty much all healthcare providers on the Lower Kenai Peninsula now have access to vaccine. Do I have that right? I think you said all the medical homes and healthcare providers have vaccine to distribute.
I did say that, Kathleen, and I might stand corrected.
Okay.
So I'll start over, and I'll say that some of the larger primary care medical home offices do, and that is SVT, Ketchmack Medical Group, Homer Medical, South Peninsula Family Care Clinic, Ninilchik Health Clinic. So the larger of the primary care clinics on the Southern Peninsula all offer the vaccine.
And Safeway Pharmacy is still showing appointments available if you go to their website as well. So I have some questions to info@kbbi.org. This one says, what actually happens to me if I'm fully vaccinated, i.e. 2 weeks after my second Moderna vaccine, and I get exposed to the coronavirus? And then parenthetically, she adds, my body fights it off, so I don't get very sick, but is my breath contagious to others? And if so, for how long? Nurse Lauren?
Oh, I like that question, and I appreciate that. The short answer is no, probably not. The longer answer is that's what we call breakthrough disease. And to date, there's been about 228 in the state of Alaska, which is remarkable success. And breakthrough disease means that you're fully vaccinated. You've got the one dose or you have the two doses, and it's been at least 14 days since you've completed the vaccine, but you pop up positive after you submit a sample. Now, the thing about that is a virus needs a host in order to survive and then to pass it on to somebody else. But the vaccine helps equip your body to fight that off and create an environment where it can't survive. So the breath that you're breathing is most likely not contagious. And then one other point, just to dig a little bit deeper, is what we're finding is those folks that do turn up positive, their next couple of tests, if they were tested, are showing up negative. And furthermore, it's been very hard or impossible for labs to run sequencing on those particular samples. And that's evidence that the viral load or the number of viruses in that sample is very small. And that's why your breath's not contagious. Good question.
Thanks so much. And if anyone else has questions, you can email them to info@kbbi.org, or you can call 235-7721 and either ask your question on the air, or you can just leave your question. We'll take it down and send it here into the studio. Next for Dorotha, this question says, is there enough vaccine in Homer for me to choose whether I get Janssen or Pfizer?
Yes, there is enough vaccine in Homer for you to choose that if you are getting vaccinated from the South Peninsula Hospital COVID clinic or the Unified Command pop-ups. The individual locations that I spoke of earlier, they might not have brand selection, but right now I can speak to our swab station or COVID station on Bartlett Street, as well as the upcoming mobile pop-up out on the spit. And at those, we will offer both Pfizer and Janssen. And the person can select from those two. Mm. Pfizer is the only brand that is authorized for 16 and older. Janssen right now is the authorized for 18 and older.
And that Janssen is the single dose. Go ahead, Nurse Lauren.
You know, that's an excellent response. And one thing I would just add is that that landscape or where and which vaccines are available changes very quickly. So it's okay to shop around. Call your medical home first. You may have other healthcare needs that you need to take care of too, like an annual physical. And if you don't find the vaccine that you're looking for there, it's okay to call other places.
Thanks. And Nurse Lauren Carroll from the Homer Public Health Department, the Health Center, and the Alaska Department of Health and Social Services. I got it conflated there for a minute.
Me too.
I'm wondering about vaccine numbers for the state and the peninsula, because I have a question here that says the state of Alaska announced a goal. I guess that was DHSS announced a goal to get 70% of the population vaccinated. Right now, we're at about 30% of the local population vaccinated. Mm. How do we get from 30% to 70%?
Mm. That's a good goal, and that's a great question. You know, I think we can make it, that's for sure, but it's going to take teamwork. You know, what at the end of the day, it really comes down to each person making that decision and then going ahead and picking up the phone and making an appointment. You know, as of today, or actually yesterday, just about 50% of Alaskans that are age 16 and older, they've gotten their first dose already. And about 43% of Alaskans that are 16 and older, they're already fully vaccinated. So we're well on our way there, but it's going to take teamwork in order to get to 70%.
Thanks, Nurse Lauren. And Dorotha, can you go over with people right now how to access the clinic and to get a vaccine in Homer today?
You bet. So the clinic is on Bartlett Street. It's the address is 4201 Bartlett Street. It's the lower level of what folks know as the specialty clinic, Dr. Adcox's office, that area there. And there's plenty of signage to tell you. So if you wanted one today, you can just show up anytime between 12 and 5. And the windows are clearly marked where you check in and get registered. And then there's a little kind of exam room or private room area that you go inside and receive your vaccination, and you're observed there, and then off you go. So you can do that as a what we call a walk-in. If you prefer to have an appointment, so your slot is reserved for you and your vaccine's reserved for you, you can do that right online, sphosp.org, and set your appointment. There's plenty of appointment availability for the next 3 weeks that you can see online. The other option is just to call. If you don't have a computer, you can call 235-0235, and that'll ring you down to the COVID clinic, and they'll get you an appointment there. If today doesn't work, or if you're pretty busy getting your boat ready for the season, getting your business out on the spit, cleaned and ready for Shorebird Festival weekend, we are going to make it easy for you, and we are going to show up at the Homer Harbor, and we are going to set up at the Boathouse Pavilion next Friday, May 7th. So next Friday, May 7th, we will have a vaccine pop-up event at the Boathouse Pavilion. That is near Ramp 2, near kind of where the public restrooms were and or are and the Harbor Master used to be. So right in that area, there's a big, nice covered pavilion. We'll be there Friday, May 7th from 10 to 2. We will offer both Pfizer and Janssen at that event.
Mm. Okay, thanks, Dorotha Ferraro from South Peninsula Hospital. Here's a question through my email. You can email info@kbbi.org if you want to email in a question. This question says that the CDC has changed its mind about pregnant women being vaccinated. Is it true now that no pregnant women should be vaccinated? Nurse Lauren, did that change happen
No.
and I missed it?
You know, I haven't seen that change.
I have not either.
Yeah, pregnant women have the opportunity to get vaccine if they choose. And actually what we're seeing is pregnant women are having less side effects and less severe side effects than folks that aren't pregnant. And those include low-grade fever and soreness at the site of injection, and there are several others too. And kind of the exciting take-home there is convincing evidence that pregnant moms who get the shot are also providing protection for the baby. So that's great.
Thanks for clearing that up. It is one of my favorite things we do here on Thursday morning, which is make sure correct information is out there. So thanks, Nurse Lorne. Here's one kind of a long, take as much time as you like. This question says there's a case increase in the Lower Peninsula. They're tracing it. They're talking about it being due to a political fundraiser at Land's End a couple of weeks ago. Is there a way to trace cases to a specific event anymore? I know that we did that in full contact tracing in the early months of the pandemic, and then cases became too numerous, I remember you telling me, to really fully trace. Where are we on that right now?
Let's see. Let me first try to repeat the question.
Sure.
Is the question, are the contact tracers, including public health nurses, are they still doing investigations and tracing where the virus is coming from and where clusters might be in an
right.
attempt to mitigate them?
Right.
Yeah. Well, the short answer is sure thing. Those contact tracers and PHNs are working every day. And when they get a positive from the state laboratory or other laboratories, they're calling up that person in much the same way that we have been for the past year. And the overall goal there is to make sure that each one of those persons know that they had a positive and that they know what kinds of things they can do to prevent passing it to other people. So an example would be if I got a positive result but I'm asymptomatic, I may not know that it's actually possible for me to pass that along. And in regards to knowing or hearing about that, yet you might not hear about clusters in the paper or not, but as evidenced by the statewide rates, there are clusters everywhere.
Thanks, Nurse Lorne Carroll from the Alaska Department of Health and Social Services. I'm going to ask Lorne and Dorotha to stand by just for a moment because Peggy Erkineff from the Kenai Peninsula Borough School District is on the line. Good morning, Peggy.
Good morning, everybody.
Hi. I want to check in with you. I was checking the COVID-19 kpbsd.org dashboard, and it's showing all the central, southern, and eastern peninsula all in the high-risk category, especially the central peninsula, showing 123 cases over 14 days. I want to talk about the health of the student body, and doesn't look like any of the schools are shutting down. It looks like central peninsula and southern are all on intermediate alert, but no one is in high alert right now. Have the school district just decided to go forward with school no matter how many cases they get until it's over since we're at the end?
Yes, that's what we did in the first of the year. So we are looking at case by case at a school instead of an entire region. So even though we're operating in high, we have all of our mitigation protocols. They are working. We are having positive cases and people are being quarantined, both staff and students, but we're keeping all of our schools open through the end of the year, fingers crossed that we don't have a big outbreak somewhere.
And about how many students in terms of percentage are staying home and learning from home right now as opposed to learning in person?
I know we have some students that are still continuing with the 100% remote learning through their school, but I don't have current numbers.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
That's all right. What about plans? Well, first of all, how's the health of the staff?
You know, if I could ask everybody to do one thing this week is to thank somebody who works in a school. Everybody has had to live through this pandemic personally, but school staff and healthcare workers, they've had to show up professionally as well as personally and deal with so much negative criticism around schools. And so the morale of our staff, we need to lift everybody up, and that's teachers, support staff, everybody in the school.
Thanks for that. It's true. No matter what decisions get made, there's going to be criticism from all sides. So thanks for that reminder. Well, what about school district facilities over the summer, are they going to remain closed to the public?
Not necessarily. I just found or had access to a new spreadsheet I've never seen before through planning and ops. And I can see at any school all the different projects that happen in the summertime, as well as we're offering summer programs. And we're not calling it summer school, but summer programs. So people can call and do a building use agreement as well.
Okay, great. Thanks for that. And is there anything else on your list today, Peggy Erkineff, that you want to get out to the public?
The big thing was we've got 14 days of school left. Please, please show your appreciation for school staff and for the parents who struggled, but especially our staff.
Thanks for that. That's Peggy Erkineff from the Kenai Peninsula Borough School District. Nurse Lauren Carroll from the Alaska Department of Health and Social Services, do you have any final recommendations today or information you'd like to share?
Oh, yeah, sure thing. Just want to touch on the pregnancy and a vaccine question one more time. You know, maybe three things. Number one, there's zero evidence that there's any fertility problems for men or women as a side effect of COVID vaccines. Number two, pregnant women were not specifically included in those pre-authorization clinical trials for all three vaccines. However, more than 77,000 pregnant women have registered in VSafe after vaccination, and zero safety concerns have been identified. Lastly, three, in terms of breastfeeding, when you get vaccinated, antibodies made by your body can be passed through breast milk to your kiddo and help protect them. So when thinking about making that decision if you want to get the shot or not, you'll probably have some questions. Just recommend that you call up your healthcare provider and talk to them. Thanks.
Thanks. That's Nurse Lauren Carroll. And Dorotha Ferraro from South Peninsula Hospital, you said at the Homer City Council meeting this past week that there hasn't been a hospitalized case of COVID-19 at South Peninsula Hospital in the last 6 weeks, and only one employee is out. So I want to check on the general health at the hospital. How's it going there?
Well, people are doing pretty good. Again, we haven't had anyone hospitalized, and that fact remains the same as reported. Things are pretty busy here. That's one thing I can definitely say, is that since this new year, since January, things have been very busy. We've had a lot of inpatient, a lot of imaging, a lot of surgery, just really busy. So I think that we were just playing catch up to months of folks kind of delaying healthcare and procedures, and it's been keeping everybody busy. But because we have really strong mitigation practices and infection prevention protocols in place, again, we just have not had a lot of staff out sick, and none based on healthcare exposure. I also wanted to follow up, Kathleen, on the idea that was talked about earlier about contact tracing. You know, if you hear a rumor, and remember, that's what they are rumors. If you hear a rumor that someplace you've been, that there's been a positive COVID case discovered from that gathering, please know that it is free to test at our testing site 7 days a week, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. And a valid reason to test is because you've recently attended a large social gathering, or you've been in a crowded indoor space close to others. Sometimes that happens without being really prepared. You're not necessarily prepared, and it's a totally legitimate, valid reason to come test after that. You want to wait at least 5 days post-event, because that's obviously the kind of the more standard incubation time. But please come test. You hear a rumor, just come on down and get tested. That way you know.
Thanks so much. And I have one more question, time for one more. John asks, he says, vaccines are free to the recipient, but how much does the vaccine cost and who pays for it? Dorotha, can you take that one?
Well, the supplies are provided through the state emergency response and the state warehouse for emergency response. So who actually paid for those supplies? I guess the federal government, but I'm not 100% certain. As far as us providing it to you, the only thing we're legally allowed to charge for is the, quote, administration fee. and we're not allowed to charge for processing because we are putting it in a courier and sending it to the state lab, and the state lab is processing it. So a combination of federal, state, and then as far as the local level, we are not charging an administration fee. We are choosing to not do that. Nationwide, some places do. We have chosen not to do that. We don't want to have any barriers to somebody testing or getting vaccinated. It's a priority for our organization. It's been since day one of this pandemic, 14 months ago, since day one that it began, we agreed that we were making sure that there were no hurdles to getting tested or vaccinated. So it's just the community contribution from South Peninsula Hospital. We cross our fingers that eventually the payroll protection program will reimburse us for some of the costs that we're incurring through it, and more to come on that.
Okay, thanks. That's Dorotha Ferraro from South Peninsula Hospital. Nurse Lauren Carroll, did I hear you affirming something back in there? You want to add something to that?
Yeah, Dorotha, you are good. That's a very good answer. You know, I was sitting here thinking the only thing I might add is, you know, that the cost of the vaccine in general is covered by the federal government, but the real cost is in all the skilled human resources needed to complete and tackle this complex distribution process. So I just want to highlight that and say a big thank you, you know, in terms of all of the partners and the community members that are making this happen. It's really amazing.
Thanks. That's Nurse Lauren Carroll from the Alaska Department of Health and Social Services, Dorotha Ferraro, spokesperson for South Peninsula Hospital, and Peggy Erkineff, spokesperson for the Kenai Peninsula Borough School District. This has been the regular Thursday COVID-19 brief. I'm Kathleen Gustafson. A reminder, you can contact your local, your preferred healthcare provider to get a vaccine, or every day from noon to 5 at the vaccine and test site at 4201 Bartlett Street in Homer in downtown. Also tests daily, 9 to 6, I believe, at the testing site at 4201 Bartlett Street in Homer. And if you want to get more information about those or just speak to a COVID nurse for any reason, the number to call is 235-0235. That is the South Peninsula Hospital COVID line. Thanks, everybody, for participating this morning. It's coming up in about 30 minutes. Stay tuned for the final radio story time with Claudia Haynes from the Homer Public Library. Well, all right, let's see. Here's a little substitute music while I figure out what just happened.